Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Hey. We left off on Daf Dalet and Beis, right in the middle of conversation. Third line from the end of the page, Vidilma is last word on the line. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas's mother, called Basimcha La Shalom, the Neshama Shav Naliyah, and is also sponsored in honor of Ben Rabinowitz, Mazel Tov on your graduation from law school. Love, Mom, Pop, and Alexander. Okay, Mazel Tov. So we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. We're in the middle of a discussion of whether a mumer level, the zara's shechita, can be trusted. Are you allowed to eat from the shechita of someone who's a mumer level, the zara? So the Gemara brought one raya that we were in the middle of talking about from the fact that Yehoshaphat ate from the shechita of Achav. Then the Gemara is going to bring another two rayas in Anamad Aleph that you are allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumer level, the zara. Through the course of that conversation, we're going to discuss who are these Orvim that brought food to Eliyahu HaNavi when he was hiding from Achav. Were they actual ravens, or were they people that are referred to as ravens? And then the Gemara is going to say, you know what? We have a raya the other way, that a mumer l'avodah zara, his shechita may not be trusted. You may not eat from the shechita of a mumer l'avodah zara. And even though we have three rayas, initially we bring three rayas that you can, that ultimate raya that you can't is the one that stands. We're going to have a tiyufta, deravan, and tiyufta, and that's what all of Amr Aleph is about. It's about eating from the shechita of a mumar la avodah zara. Then the Gemara is going to talk, parenthetically, when Psukim referred to people as a behema, is that an insult or is that a compliment? We would think of it as an insult, but there seem to be certain places where it is a compliment. The Gemara is then going to discuss that even though we spoke about shechita of a kuti, and that if you check his knife, then everything's going to be just fine. But there was apparently a later gezeira about shechita of a kuti. So we're going to talk about the nature of that gezeira and the history of that gezeira against shechitas kuti. So let's pick up again, Dalet and Beis, Vidilma, three lines from the end of the page, where the Gemara is trying to figure out, did Yehoshaphat in fact eat from the shechita of an Ovid Avodah Zarah like Achav and his followers? So we said yesterday that Achav's people must have been Ovid Avodah Zarah also, because if the leaders in Ovid Avodah Zarah, it's most likely that his people are as well. Yehoshaphat's people must have been good guys, because if the leader is a good person, then most likely the followers are a good person, are good people as well. So it could not be that Ovadia did the shechita for Yehoshaphat and all of his people. It would have been too much for Ovadia alone to handle. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, did Yehoshaphat in fact eat from the shechita of Achav? It seems like it. So says Gemara, no, Vidilma, Zavuch Gavri d'Achav, Achal Achav v'Gavrei, Zavuch Gavri d'Yehoshaphat, Achal Yehoshaphat v'Gavrei. Maybe the shechita of Achav's people was eaten by Achav and his people, and the food that Yehoshaphat and his people ate was meat that Yehoshaphat's people shechted. So they each shechted their own food. Each group shechted their own food. And that's why Yehoshaphat was willing to eat this food. But you're not allowed to eat the food. You're not allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumer l'avodah zarah. So says Gemara, no, lo ava maflig nafshei minei. The pasuk gives you the distinct impression that Yehoshaphat did nothing to separate himself from Achav at all in the course of this su'udah. So if the pasuk says that Yehoshaphat ate with Achav, it was without any special zihirus, without any special separation between them. So it could not be that he said, you know what, I'll take care of the shechita of my food and you take care of the shechita of your food. The Chasam Sofer points out that according to the Rambam, Ram Paskins in the fourth parak of Hilchos Shechita, that a mumer l'davar echad, even though his shechita is kasher, but you at least need to be bodik the sakin that he's shechting with, and you cannot rely that he's using a good knife. So l'chora, you got to do some level of being mavdil yourself, because Yehoshaphat at the very least would have had to check the knives that that Achav and his people were using. So how can we say that he was not lohoya maflig nafshe minei, that he did nothing to distinguish himself? He must have done something. He must have checked the knives. So the Chasam Sofer says that's not considered a havdalah, because we do that for everybody. I mean, a rabbi walks into a shachtas and they start showing him the knives. It's a normal thing to check the knives of shochtim. So that's not considered to be a statement of separation, that I don't want to be together with you. I don't want to eat the food that you're preparing. So says Gemara, minalan, where do you see in the psukim that Yehoshaphat did not separate himself from Achav whatsoever? So ilim midichsev. Maybe you're going to tell me Talmid from the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim, where Yehoshaphat says to Achav, Kamoni Chamocha Ka'ami Ka'amecha, and it means literally that we'll be totally together. I'll be just like you, and I'll eat whatever you eat. Elameata. But if that's what the Pasuk really means, Kisusai Kisusecha Hachinami, how do you say, and my horse is like your horse? That's also about some sort of Isser V'Hetter. That's also about some sort of halacha. What halacha is that about? No, Ella, my Tavi Asusecha, Tavi Asusai. No, it's about Melchama. He's saying that I'm going to join with you in the Melchama because Achav asked Yehoshaphat to go fight with him. So he says, yeah, that which happens to your horses in battle will happen to my horses, meaning that which happens to your tanks and your planes and your will happen to mine because we'll be together in battle. So Hachinami, so too we can explain Kamoni Kamocha Kami Kamecha along those lines. My Davi Allah, Ve'alavi Amach, Tavi Alai, Ve'alavi Ami, that whatever's going to happen in the Muhammad to you and to your people will happen to me and to my people. It's got nothing to do with Isser V'Hetter. So that can't be the pasuk that tells you that Yehoshaphat didn't separate himself in halacha from Achav. Ela Mehacha. It must be from the following pasuk. Pasuk says, U'melech Yisrael v'Yehoshaphat melech Yehuda, Yoshvim ish al kiso, milubashim begadim, begorin pesach shar shomron. So they sat there wearing clothing. Obviously they're wearing clothing. The Radak and the Matsuda say it's referring to Big Day Malchus, because otherwise you don't need to tell me that a person is wearing clothing. It would be notable if he wasn't, I guess, but if a person is wearing clothing, it doesn't need to be said. So it's a reference to Big Day Malchus, and they were sitting there in the Goren of the Pesach Shar Shomron. My Goren, what does Goren mean over here? Elim Goren Mamish, if it actually means like a threshing floor, Atu Shar Shomron Goren Hava, is the Shar Shomron a silo? That can't be. So Ella Ki Goren. No, it means that they sat in the same format like a Goren, like the shape of a Goren. Detran, Sanhedrin, Isa, Kachatzi Goren, Agula, Kteshiuro, and Zeh, that we know who sat in the formation of a Goren, that the Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle so that when they had conversations, they would be able to see one another, and they'd be able to hear properly. I mean, when you're sitting in a straight line, like you have a dais table, so the people who are furthest apart in the room are the two people at the end of the ends of the dais. There's no conversation that could happen between them. They don't see each other. They don't even know who's there. But when you sit in a semicircle, so you're able to see each other, you're able to converse with one another, and that's how the Sanhedrin could come to a conclusion in Psak Halacha by talking to each other. So we're saying that's how they sat as well. Meaning they sat in a way that they're trying to connect. It was a sign of love. It was a sign of friendship that they're all together. And therefore, you see that they're not choshed one another. So that's the raya, that Yehoshaphat did not separate himself from Achav, and therefore that is the conclusion of raya number one, that you're allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumla avodah zara, because it seems that Yehoshaphat ate from the shechita of Achav. Now the Tiferes Yaakov points out that it doesn't mean that they weren't choshed on anything, because even though it's mutter to eat from the shechita of an ovid avodah zara, of a mumla avodah zara, but he's still a mumla avodah zara. So anything regarding avodah zara, he's definitely going to be chashud. So by saying that they sat in the same goren doesn't mean he wasn't choshed for anything. It means he wasn't choshed on something that you don't know that he violated. Tiferes Yaakov points out it's not called choshed when you don't trust him on matters relating to avodah zara. You know that he's a mumla avodah zara. That's not called choshed. Choshed is when I don't know, do I have to be suspicious? So we say, okay, you don't have to be suspicious about about other areas of halacha, about his shechita. Now it's interesting. The Gemara said they sat in a goren. The Gemara said, what does that mean? You think that there was an actual goren in Shar Shomron? That can't be. Why can't that be? Why is that out of the realm of possibility that there was an actual goren? There was an actual silo in the Shar Shomron. So the Ritva points out, because it's against the halacha. The Gemara in Bava Basra talks about all sorts of zoning halachos about how to build the city to make it nice and to not cause damage. And one of the things the Gemara says is marchikin is goren kavua min ha'ir chamishim amah, and that even in Chutz La'aretz and Kol Shekein Eretz Yisrael, you have to look after the beauty of the city. So if there's no way in the Shar Shomron, in the gate of the city, you would have a goren. It has to be at least 50 amos away from the gate of the city. The Radak on the pasuk says that they did have a goren, meaning he understood it translated in a literal sense, but Chazal are understanding that it can't be literal. So says Gemara, let me bring another raya, a second raya, that you're allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumrah of Avodah Zarah. And this raya is from when Eliyahu HaNavi was in hiding from Achav. So how did he eat? That these ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and the evening. Rav says, where did they get this meat? They got it from the slaughterhouse of Achav. So apparently Eliyahu HaNavi was eating from the shechita of a mumrah l'avodah zarah, or of mumrim l'avodah zarah, of Achav and his people. The Chasam Sofer writes that Rav understood that he must have eaten from the house of Achav. I mean, where did Rav get this from, that it was from Achav? It just says that the ravens brought him meat. How do I know that it was mibei tavchi da Achav? He says, because it's not mistaver that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to provide Eliyahu with stolen goods, with things that these ravens stole from somewhere else. Achav was actually responsible to support Eliyahu, so it's just collecting the debt that he actually had. So that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to get it. The Chosin Yeshua says that Rav is medayik from the fact that it says lechem u'basar b'boker, lechem u'basar b'erev. So that has to come from a Beis HaMelech, because Stam B'nei Adam, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Hei, says that it's not derech eretz to eat basar in the morning. So who's going to eat basar in the morning? It's only a king that's going to have lechem u'basar both in the morning and in the evening. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not a raya that Eliyahu HaNavi ate from the Shechita of Achav, because that you're allowed to eat from the Shechita of Mumla V'Dazar, al pi adibur shayni. The story with Eliyahu was different. That was from Ashkachas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, that Avram brought him every single day. That the Pasuk says, that's Avram tzivisi l'chalkel chasham, that Hashem says, I commanded the Avram to do this. So that's not a raya that you're allowed to eat from the Shechita of Mumla V'Dazar. In the Mitzvah Eisan, he points out that we pask in the Rein Navi Rashai L'chadish Davar, that a Navi is not allowed to make a new halacha unless it's the Migdar Milsa, that for Hora Shah, the Migdar Milsa, to protect people from doing an Averi, you're allowed to do that. So how could Eliyahu HaNavi rely on his Nevuah to permit that which would otherwise be Aser? It's not the Migdar Milsa, so what's the heter to rely on his Nevuah to eat this food? So the Mitzvah Eisan says that din, that Ein Navi Rashi L'Chadish Davar, is only by other people, that they can't rely on the Nevuah of the Navi. But the Navi himself is allowed to rely on his own Nevuah when he paskins Isser V'Heter, a Chiddush, that the idea that Nevuah does not play a role in Halacha, unless it's the Migdar Milsa for a Rasha, is only when it comes to a Nevuah Klape Chutz, but a Nevuah Klape Pnim, about the Navi himself, it could even be utilized La Halacha when it's not the Migdar Milsa. Once we mention the Orvim, says Gemara, my Orvim, what exactly are these Orvim? Some Ravina, Orvim Mamish, what do you mean? It's ravens, it's a Hebrew word. Some Ravada Bar Minyumi, so Ravada Bar Minyumi says, Ravina, Vidilma Trek Avri Dahavi Shmayu Orvim. How do you know? Maybe it's two people whose names were both Orev, which is a little bit strange, right? Meaning, like, if you have two people's names were Yosef, do you call them Yosfim? That's not, it's an unusual, so what are the Achronim? Ask that Kasha, that why would it be that we would call them Orvim if they're two people whose names were Orev? So Milo Ksiv, after all, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ve'arguas Orev Bitsur, Orev Ve'ze'ev? So you see that there's a person called Orev as well. So Amlei, Shamayim Milsa, Tzavai, Chad, Shmayu Orvim, that have a Shmayu Orvim. So the Gemara says, it's just a mistaver that there are two guys whose name were both Orev that were provide such an unusual name, and it happened to be two guys, and they're the ones that are providing the meat for Eliyahu. So the Pashtus is that's what the Gemara means, that there are going to be two people by that same name. The Ritva has a little bit of a different girsa. Is Shrami Milsa to call Yoma Mishrami Le Trey Gravi Deshmayu Orvim? That it can't be that every single day it would be the same two people that are feeding him. So even if you have two people whose names are Orev that are providing for him, they wouldn't keep doing it day in and day out because they'd be afraid of getting caught and getting killed. So it must be that at some point the people were different people, and every day it's going to be two other people whose name were Orev? That's impossible. So it says Gemara V'Dilma Al Shem Koman, maybe in Achinami. Their names aren't Orev, but maybe it's still a reference to people, and they're called Orvim because they're from a place called Orev. After all, Milo Ksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, V'aram yatu gedudim v'yishbu meretz Yisrael, nara ketana, v'kashalan, and we ask on the Pasuk that l'choretz astira, what is a nara ketana? Karila nara, then the word nara implies that she's already a gedola, that she's already 12 years old and has shtei saros, v'karila ketana, but the word ketana implies that she's very young, young that she's a ketana. Vam Rabbi Pedas, ketana diminaren. No, it means a ketana. What does Nara mean over here? It's the name of the place that she comes from. So over here also, maybe Orvim is a reference to the name of the place that they come from. But it's really people. So it says, Imkain, Orviyim Mibayile. There should have been an extra yud if that were the case, if they were from a place called Orev. Tosus points out that there are many places in the Torah where we call people by the name of the place that they come from, and it's only written with one yud, like you have Ivrim and Mitzrim. It doesn't say Ivriim and Mitzriim, but that's only because Tosus says, because there's no room for error over there. There's no reason to think that it's anything but the name of the place that they come from. But whenever there's room for error, there's room to make a mistake, that's where the extra yud should be added in to make it abundantly clear that it's about the place that they come from. In the Chuvus Mor Aholos, as quoted in the Penina Halacha section of the Masift over here, he says, why does the Gemara assume that it's a chiddush to find two people in the same place that have the name Orev? You find a lot of people that, I mean, there are common names in certain places. So if the name Orev was a common, right, the Gemara was incredulous. Two guys, both named Orev? Why would that ever be? I don't know. You find two guys named Moshe all the time. You find whatever the popular names are. Yeah, I remember for a while when I was teaching at DRS, Josh was the most popular name. I had five Joshes in my class. I was in Gourmet Glot once, and a woman stopped me. She said, "It's me, Josh's mom." Okay, that's not going to help me very much. So whatever the common name was. So why is that so difficult to imagine? So he suggests that an Orev is a Rasha. It's an animal that's known for its rishos, and Jewish people would not name after an animal that's a rasha. In the Sefer Kesar Shem Tov, he says, from the fact that the Gemara does not ask on Rav Adi Bar Yumi that why would anyone ever have such a name, it must be that you're allowed to call after an animal that's a rasha. In the Kesar Shem Tov, he says, from Rabbi Da Chassid and Sefer Chassidim, that a person should be mispalel shelo yikru zaru al osan shemidos haraos tlius ben, that your children shouldn't be named after animals that are known for midos ra'os. But if it's an animal that Chazal only speak positively about, even though they may have midos ra'os, then you're allowed to call your children by such a name. And the example he gives is Aryeh, that an Aryeh is a predatory animal, and it does terrible things to other animals. But the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says Gibor Kari Lasos Ritzon Avicha Shemashamayim. So apparently it's a good thing. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Yoshev Hakadosh Baruch Hu Vishoei Kari. Yehuda's nimshal to an Aryeh. Rav Kahana is called Ari Olam Mibavel in Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So even though an Aryeh is Toref, that's a good thing, because Chazal apparently only referred to it in complementary terms. So it would all depend on how Chazal view the animals. Okay, I'm not sure why, but that's the way Minog Yisrael has developed. I think by Sfarim they don't name after animals for the most part, but by Ashkenazim we name after animals that Chazal have nice things to say about. Okay, now a third raya, says the Gemara. I'll bring another raya that you're allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumer l'avodah zarah. We had said in the brisa hakol shocht in vafilu kuti vafilu arel vafilu yisrael mumar, that anyone could do shechita, even a kuti, even an arel, even yisrael mumar. Hay arel hechidami. What kind of arel are we talking about? If we're talking about someone whose brothers died from mila, so it's dangerous for him to have a mila. Hay yisrael mal yehu. Then there's nothing wrong with this guy. Why would I have even a havamina that there's something wrong with the shechita? He's not allowed to get a bris milah. El pshita mumer l'arelus. No, we must be talking about someone who's mevait, mezalzel in the mitzvah of milah. He's a mumer for arelus. Since he's a mumer, the davar echad, his shechita is still going to be kosher, because he's only a mumer for arelus, for bris milah. Ema seifa, but then the seifa goes on to say, va'afilu Yisrael mumer, you're even allowed to eat from the shechita of Yisrael mumer. Well, hechidami, what are we adding with that line? E mumer l'davar echad, if it's about somebody who's a mumar l'davar echad, haynu mumar l'arelus. We already said that someone who's a mumar for only arelus, you're allowed to eat from mishchita. So why would I think that a mumar for any other single mitzvah in the Torah is any different than a mumar l'arelus? Elalav mumar l'avodas chavim. No, it must be that this is a mumar for something more serious. This is someone who's a mumar l'avodas zara, and you're still allowed to eat from mishchita. Uk de Ravanan. And that's exactly the shita of Ravanan. So it's a raya to Ravanan. So it says Gemara, lo. it is not a raya because you're misunderstanding the brisa. The old man malach mumer lavel zchav mlo. Maybe really the halacha is you're not allowed to eat from the shchita of a mumer lavel dezara. Da amar mar chamura avul zchav mishkala kofr ba kemoda bekala torah kula because avul dezara is so serious that anyone who denies avul dezara is as if they are acknowledging and admitting to kala torah kula and the reverse, right? Anyone who's moda lavel dezara is rachman al is as if he's being kofr bekala torah kula. No, the chiddush of the mumar is that he's a mumar for that very thing, that he violates the mitzvah of shechita. He's nochal nevelos l'teyavon, that elite nevelos, if it's that's the easiest thing for him to do, and shechted meat is not readily available to him. And nevertheless, shechita sokshera. So three cases in the Braisa. We have the case of the kuti, fine. Then we have a case of an arel. Arel means a mumar l'davar echad, a mumar for any random mitzvah you're allowed to trust a shechita. And then mumar means a mumar for shchita. He's a mumar l'teyavon about inyanim of shchita, and you're even allowed to trust his shchita. Ukit Rava, and that's what Rava taught us in yesterday's daf, that a mumar ochel neveles l'teyavon, his shchita is going to be kosher. So it's no raya whatsoever about trusting a mumar l'avodah zara when it comes to his shchita. So says Gemara, okay, now let's bring a raya in the other direction, that you are not allowed to trust the shchita of a mumar l'avodah zara. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges from a brisa. The brisa talks about a person who commits to bring a korban ola as a neder or a nedava. So the pasuk says, "Adam ki akriv mikem korban laHashem and abeim and abakum and atzont akriv as korban chem." So we dash mikem sounds like from you, not all of you, below kulchem. That there's some subgroup of the Jewish people that are allowed to volunteer such a korban, but not everybody is able to volunteer to bring such a korban. Lahotias a mumar, that you do not accept a korban nedava from a mumar. Mikem, b'chem chalaktiv lo bu'umos. And this distinction that we're making, that a mumar is not allowed to bring a korban, is only a distinction within the Jewish people. But among other nations of the world, you could be makabel a korban even from a kofar in a Russia and all sorts of non-Jews. So mina behema, the pasuk darshins, lavi bnei adam shadom lebehema. That tells me that even people who are like a behema, you're allowed to accept a korban from. What does it mean, people who are like a behema? It means people who are not makayim the mitzvos, like a behema, who does not recognize God's existence. Mikan nomer makabel korbanos miposhe Yisrael. And from there we see you're allowed to be makabel korbanos from poshe Yisrael, kadesh yachsu ben b'tshuva, and that will hopefully encourage them to do tshuva. Chutz mina mumar umenasechasiyayin umechal shabbos b'faresia. Except for three categories of people. A mumar, a menasechayin, and a mechal shabbos b'faresia. The Rashba writes in tshuva mechal shabbos b'faresia means in front of 10 Jewish people. That's mechal shabbos b'faresia. And the tzvu ashar and hilchos shechita and some beis, he says, who adin, if he didn't do the Aveira in front of 10 people, but he did it in a way that 10 people are aware of the Aveira, that's also called Michal Shabbos Bifarhesia. So the Gemara first explains the Braisa before we make our point, before we use this as a raya that you're not allowed to eat from the shchit of a mumala vodazara. Hagguf akasha. The Braisa seems to have a stira mine ube. Amrit mikem v'lo kulchem lo tiyas mumar. First we started saying that mikem, that we accepted this korban from some Jewish people, but not all Jewish people, because a mumar's korban we're not going to accept. V'adatani mikam l'korbanos miposhe Yisrael. Then we said that we do accept from poshe Yisrael so that we can encourage them to do tshuva. So which is it? Do we or don't we accept a korban from a mumar? Halo kasha. Reisha mumar l'kol torah kula, mitziyasa mumar l'davar echad. The Reisha is talking about when it says mikem is a mumar l'kol torah kula, we're not going to accept from such a person, but poshe Yisrael means he's a mumar l'davar echad. So that we will accept a carbon from Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa goes on to say Chut mina mumar umenasech siayin mechal shabbos veresia. Hai mumar echidavi. Well, wait a second. What kind of mumar is that talking about when we then mention mumar a third time in the same brisa? If it's telling me, well, I'm not going to accept a carbon from a mumar l'kol ha-torah kula, you just told me that. We said mikem v'lo kulchem, and that was a reference to a mumar l'kol ha-torah kula. And if it's about a mumar l'davar echad, then forget about it, you just told me. It's against what you just told me. Because in the second time we mentioned Poshe Yisrael, we said we are mekabel karbanos from a mumar l'davar echad. And now in the third time we mentioned mumar, we can tell me that we don't accept karbanos from a mumar l'davar echad. El alav, so it must be that where it doesn't mention mumar a third time in a generic sense. When it says mumar umenase chesayin hachikamar chutz mina mumar le nase chesayin ul chal shabbos faresia. That there are three types of mumar mentioned in this brisa. There's a mumar for kalat arukula, him we don't accept the carbon from. There's a mumar for davar echad, him we do accept the carbon from. That's poshe Yisrael. And then there are mumrim for specific, very, very terrible averos. No, to be menasei chayin, to be mechal shabbos b'faresia. So for them, we do not accept the karbanos, even though they're only mumrim davar echad. But because they're such terrible davar echads that they're mumrim for, we will not accept a karban from them. So bottom line is alma mumrim levels chavma mumrim kol torah kula. Apparently, mumrim level dzara has the same status as a mumrim kol torah kula. Utiyufta dravanan tiyufta, and therefore that's a tiyufta and ravanan, because ravanan said you're allowed to eat from the shechita of a mumel avodah zara. Well, if he has the status of a mumel kol torah kula, you absolutely may not eat from his shechita. Now, someone who's nasi chayin avodah zara is mechal shabbos faresia. Rashi points out, even though it's only mumel davar echad, but those are davar echads that are chamur like kol torah kula. The Yerushalmi proves from psukim that shkul shabbos keneged kol torah kula. In fact, the Rambam at the end of each section of halachos allows himself to get a little more hashkafic and poetic. So at the end of hilchos shabbos perek the Rambam writes, "Hashabbos v'avodas chavim u'mazalos kol achas mishtein shkulos keneged shar kol mitzvos haTorah. Shabbos and avodas zara are each like the shar kol mitzvos haTorah. V'hashabbos hiya os shabbos kodesh baruch hu beinenu liolam. Leficha kol over al shara mitzvos harei b'chal rishay Yisrael. You violate other things; it's a terrible rishos. Aval mechal Shabbos b'farhesya harei u'kovid avodas chavim u'mazalos u'shneim kegoyim l'chol devrayhem. But if you're mechal Shabbos b'farhesya, it's way worse." That's already like being an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and therefore you have a din like a guy. Dafka if it's Farhesia, because Shabbos is an os, so it's only considered a rejection of the os if it's done in a public manner. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the Braisa that we had quoted. So we darshan, how do I know that you don't accept the carbon from Mumar? Mikem, that we accept the carbon from some of you, but not Kulchem. But is that really where we learn that from? Mehasim Nafka, don't we have a different Russia, when it says by Korban Chatas, it says Me'am Ha'aretz. So we darshan only from some Am Ha'aretz, from some people, Prat Lemumar, but not all people, and therefore we exclude a Mumar from that Pasuk. Rabbi Shimon Yossi Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Asher Lo Te'asel B'Shkaga V'Yasham. That we learn from the Pasuk that says Asher Lo Te'asel B'Shkaga V'Yasham, and it says, Oh, Hodei Lov Chatas Asher Chata Ve'Avias Korbano. That when a person realizes he did an Avera, so he's going to bring his Korban Chatas. So he darshans, yeah, hashav mi yidyaso maybe carbon al shigaso. A person who had he realized what he was doing would not have done that avera. So he brings a carbon for having violated an avera b'shogeg. But ain't hashav mi yidyaso, ain't maybe carbon al shigaso. But if a person who even had he realized at the time that what he was eating was chaylev, he was hungry, he was going to eat it anyway, then he does not get to bring a carbon chatas. Carbon chatas is only for a person who did an avera b'shogeg where it was the shogeg that made them do the avera. But had they realized what it was, they wouldn't have done it. But yeah. A person who eats nevela for lunch every day, except one day he thought his lunch was kosher, but he eats nevela for lunch every day, he doesn't get to bring a korban chatas for that. So va'amrin and my benayu. So we say, what's what's the nekudas hamachlokas between these two opinions, meaning whether a mumar is excluded or whether a eino shav mi yediyaso is excluded? They seem to be the same thing. So va'amavnuna mumar lechel chelev ve'vi korban al adam ika benayu. Shouldn't give the example. In Vela, there's no chatas, but mumar to eat chaylev, something that's amazing is in the Sukkaris. If a mumar eats, someone who's a mumar to eat chaylev and he's bringing a korban on dam, so he is shav mi yidyaso. This he says, what do you think I am? I eat chaylev, I wouldn't eat dam. Had he realized that he was eating dam, he never would have eaten it. So he would be shav mi yidyaso, but he's also a mumar. So if you're going to say that a mumar is excluded from bringing korbanos, say he would not bring a korban. But if you're going to say that it's a shav mi yidyaso, and eino shav mi yidyaso is excluded, he would have been shav mi yidyaso. And he realized that he was eating dam, he would not have continued to eat it. So you see that those are the psukim that teach us that you cannot accept a korban from a mumar. So how come the Braisa had to learn it from Mikem? Why do I need two psukim to tell me the same basic din? So says Gemara, no, two different korbanos. Chad bechatos v'chad ba'ola. One is to tell me not to accept a korban from a korban chatos from mumar. Another is to tell me not to accept a korban ola from mumar. And why do I need to? So can I learn one from the other? Utzrichi, you need both. The Ashmin chatos had. He only told me not to accept a chatos from a mumar. Rishum de kaparuhu, because a chatos is there to provide the person with kapara. Maybe he's not a bar kapara as a mumar. Avolola to doranu, but an ola which is just a gift that he's bringing. I would think we should accept it from him. V'yashmin olin, if it only would have told me that we don't accept a carbon ola from mumar, mishum delav chiyuvu, I would say because there's no chiyuv for him to bring a carbon ola. He just wants to do it out of the goodness of his heart. And we might say, you know what? Zevach rishom toeva. What you're going to decide to bring on your own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not interested. Aval chatas to chiyuvu, but a chatas which is a chiyuv, you don't turn away people who try to do mitzvos, who try to do what Hashem, you know, there's not, you know, a person wants to eat matzah on Pesach. You don't say, I don't know, you tell Lashon Hara, so you can't eat matzah on Pesach. No, a person wants to do a mitzvah, you let him do a mitzvah. So if he has a chiv to do it, I would think we should accept it. So tzricha, that's why I need another pasuk to tell me that we don't allow a mumar to bring a korban chatas. So now the Gemara goes back to the braisa. We had said mina behema, that it's like people who are similar to a behema, and that was a reference to Poshe Yisrael. So says Gemara, is that true that whenever the pasuk refers to people as a behema, that it's meant as an insult, it's meant as something negative? Doesn't the pasuk say in Tehillim, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem, v'amar v'dom rav, and v'dom rav explains, elu b'nei adam shein arum and b'da'as u'mesim en atzman kebehema. Those are people who act with a certain sense of anivus, a certain sense of humility, that they are like a behema. So it's a reference to tzadikim. So it says, Gemar, hasam k'siv, Adam uvehema, hacha behema l'chudaksiv. When you say Adam uvehema, then behema might be a reference to a positive characteristic. But if it's just behema, it's not a positive characteristic. V'kal hecha d'chsiv, Adam uvehema mal yusi. Wait, is that a rule? Then whenever it says Adam and behema, in the same context, the behema is really a compliment. V'aksiv v'zarati es peis Yisrael zera adam v'zera behema. So answers Gemara, hasam hachalkik. And over there, it's describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good for Klal Yisrael, and he's going to allow them to multiply, whether it be zera adam and zera behema. So Gemara darshan, zera behema are people who are amei aretz, who were never kara, shanor, shimish, tamid chachamim. So zera adam is people who are tamid chachamim. Zera behema is amei aretz. So the word behema is darshaned in a negative light, even though it's said together with Adam. It says, no, hasam achal kekra. It doesn't say Adam uvehema over there. It says, zera Adam, zera behema. So it separates them from one another. Zera Adam luchud, zera behema luchud. They're separate categories. And that's when behema will still be understood as an insult and not as a compliment. Okay, we had said back on Daf Gimel that you could trust the shechita of a kuti because they're gerei emes, as long as they do it in front of view because they're chasher on lifnei iver lo sitein michshal. So if it's a bad shechita, they'll be happy to provide you with that meat, even though it's a bad shechita. But as long as they're willing to eat it, then you can trust it. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yaakov Baridi, Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Ram Gamliel Beis Din nimnu al shechitas kuti va'asaruha. Ram Gamliel and his Beis Din took a vote that they made a new takana against the shechita of a kuti. So Amar Le Rav Zeru, Rav Yaakov Baridi, Shema lo shama Rebbe ela b'she'in Yisrael Omid Al-Gabav. Maybe that's only if Yisrael is not Omid Al-Gabav, where he may have messed up the Shechita. Like we said before, that Kutamar Nechshara and Lifnever L'Sitan Michshal. But maybe with Yisrael Omid Al-Gabav, this Gezerah of Ram Gamliel never applied. Meaning, maybe Ram Gamliel is not really saying anything so new that he didn't change what it says in the Mishnah. And you're allowed to eat from Shechita of a Kuti if you were Omid Al-Gabav. So Amar Lei, so he said, Dami Haimi Rabbanan, Kedolo Gemiri in Shishmaita. You're acting like someone who didn't learn the sugi of Gemara in your life. B'shein Yisrael Omid Al-Gabav, L'meim Rabbi, you need Rabbi Gamliel to tell me that if Yisrael is not Omid Al-Gabav, that you're not allowed to eat the Shechita of a Kuti? Obviously you're not allowed to eat the Shechita of a Kuti if there's no Yisrael Omid Al-Gabav. He's Chashur L'fnei Iver, and the Mishnah didn't allow it if Yisrael is not Omid Al-Gabav. So it's a silly question. Of course Rabbi Gamliel must have been breaking new ground over here with this takana. So says Mar Gemara, Kibla Minei or Lo Kibla Minei? Was Rabbi Zera Mekabel, Rabbi Yaakov's answer, and he now is Moda, that they asked the Shechita of Akuti even when Yisrael is Omer Al Gabov, or was he not Mekabel the answer? So says Gemara, I'll bring you a Raya from what Rabbi Zera says elsewhere. Tashma, Dom Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Asi, Ani Re'isi Es Rabbi Yochanan, She'achal Mishchitas Kuti. I saw that Rabbi Yochanan ate from Mishchitas Kuti in a situation where there was no concern of Lifnei Iver, meaning Yishachted in front of Yisrael, or Rabbi Yochanan gave the Kuti a kazayis to eat to make sure that it was kosher, right? So I saw that Rabbi Yochanan was willing to eat from it, from Mishchitas Kuti. Va'af Rabbi Yasi achal Mishchitas Kuti, and Rabbi Yasi also ate from a Shechitas Kuti. So V'toy Bar Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera was in astonishment that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi ate from the Shechita of Akuti, because after all, Rav Gamliel and Beis Dino made a takana that you're not allowed to eat from Shechitas Kuti. How could these two Gedolei Olam have eaten from Shechitas Kuti? So he wasn't sure. Lo Shmielu, maybe they didn't know that Rav Gamliel and Beis Dino made such a din against Shechitas Kuti. Diyavah Shmielu have Mekabelah, and maybe had they known that Rav Gamliel and Beis Dino made such a din, they would have been Mekabel the din. Odilma, or maybe Shmielu v'lo kibluah, or maybe they were very well aware that Rav Gamliel Beis Dino said that you're not allowed to eat from Shechitas Kuti, even b'makom that there's no concern for lifnei iver. But they rejected this new takana, and therefore they continued to eat from Shechitas Kuti, even after the takana of Rav Gamliel. So he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure what was. Rabbi Zeru wasn't sure. How do we explain the behavior of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Asi over here? Were they simply unaware, but they would have accepted the gezeira of Rav Gamliel, or were they aware and they rejected the gezeira of Rav Gamliel? So Hadar Pashal Nafshe. Rabbi Zeru answered the question for himself. Mistavr deshmieluhu velo kabluah. They were very well aware. They just rejected this takana. Why? Because if it was just a mistake and they really they just were unaware that there was a takana against this, and had they been aware, they would have been mekabel the gezeira of Rav Gamliel. Well, then heichim istaya milsa lemechel isura. How could it be that they were nichshal to eat a davar asur, even b'shogeg? That Rashi writes, how could it be that there's going to be shum satan lefnei tzadikim alidei shogeg shum davar avon? That any davar avon is going to happen to a tzaddik. It can't be. Hashta behemtam shetzaddikim erkadosh baruch hu mevi takal yadam tzaddikim atzma lo kol shkein. Even a behemah of a tzaddik erkadosh baruch hu is not mevi takala al yadam. So a tzaddik himself erkadosh baruch hu is going to be mevi takala. That's something that they would acknowledge is usher that they're going to eat. It can't be. Tosfos raises a question there in Dibur Maskil tzaddikim. He says, I don't know. There are a lot of places where tzaddikim did averos b'shogeg. Yehuda ben Tabai killed an eight zomim shalokadin, right? That in the first parak of Makos, he killed a man shalokadin, right? The halacha is achiyazumu is kulan, and they're only mazim one of the edim, and he treated him like an eight zomim, and he put him to death. The Gemara says in Makos that Shimon ben Shetach said erev ben lechama im lo shafachta dam naki. That Shimon ben Shetach said erev ben lechama, if you didn't kill an innocent man, and he said you're right, oivei, I was shofik dam naki. We find in Shabbos Taf Yud Beis that Rabbi Shmuel was karula or Ner. He said, I know that there's this din that you're not supposed to be kari lor ner, because shemiyata, you might tilt the ner, and you're going to be mechaba the ner. When you tilt the ner, he was kari lor ner, and he was mata the ner on Shabbos. Then the Ramban says, you find in Yavamas, on Daf Tzadivav, that because of an argument in Divrei Torah between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yossi, a Sefer Torah was written, was ripped, rather. They're pulling in both directions. It says in the Pasuk this way, that, then the Sefer Torah got ripped. And there was a Zakei Necher who was there. He said, Tamani, that terrible things are going to happen in this place. So a terrible takala came about because of it. So Tosa says he is sowed in the name of the Ri, that this idea that tzaddikim will not have a takala, that's dafka by yisurei achila, that when you are what you eat. So for a tzaddik to be able to have non-kosher food that becomes part of his essence, part of who he is, that's where we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yidei tzaddik. But let's just finish up the raya over here. If you can going to say that Rabbi Zeira was not mekabel that which Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said that Rabbi Gamliel asked shechitas kuti even with Yisrael Emir al Gabav lishnile, then Rabbi Zeira should answer for himself. Kanch Yisrael Emir al Gabav that Rabbi Yochanan Vasi ate from shechitas kuti only when it was Yisrael Emir al Gabav, and Kan Rabbi Gamliel, who didn't allow eating from shechitas kuti, is kshein Yisrael Emir al Gabav, is when there was no Yisrael Emir al Gabav b'shas shechita. Elav shmamina kibluminei, it must be that Rabbi Zeira accepted that which Rav Yaakov Bar Idi said, that Rav Gamliel and Bezina were gozer on Shechitas Kuti even when he saw the Zomir al Gabav, and asked it like the Shechit of a guy, and therefore he was astonished that two Amoraim would have violated this. So Shema Mina, so you see that Rabbi Zeira was Mekabel that which Rav Yaakov Bar Idi had said. Okay, that's what we'll pick up with my timer tomorrow.